Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud. We will begin on Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. V'savar Rav Ibal In Iloy Baal Loy. As we've been learning, according to Rav, Kedusha Ketana, the subject of our perek, the Kedusha de Rabbanan, that a girl who doesn't have a father is married off by her brothers or mother. So as long as she's a Ketana, as we are learning, and will continue to learn in Mitzvah Hashem, she could do miyun. She could annul the marriage. What makes or what transforms, according to Rav, this kedusha de rabbanon into a kedusha de raisa? Bia. Says the Gemara, is that indeed true? V'sava Rav ibal in ibal lo. Only if bia was done, is there a transformation of the Kedushin from a Kedusha de Rabbana to Kedusha de Raisa? Vitmar, we learned, Ketana Shloi Miyano. There's a Ketana that did not do Miyon, for Higdila, and she now became an adult, for Amda Venissus. And now she married a second individual, Rav Amma Einet Tzricha Get Misheni. She doesn't need a get from the second husband, V'Shmul Amma Tzricha Get Misheni. The second marriage is viewed as a valid marriage, and therefore she needs a get. My love, the Leibol, is in the situation that this machloikis, the case that this machloikis of Rav and Shmuel referred to, is a situation where there was no bia, and yet Rav saying that she's considered married to her husband, says Marloi, the case that's being referred to here is the ball, that there was bia between this girl and her husband, after she became a gdoila, and that's why Rav says, Eino tzricha get misheni, she doesn't require a second get. Ask the Gemara, e the ball, if we're referring to a situation, ask the Gemara, where she was married as a ktana, kedusha derabbanan. Now her husband had bia with her, after she was a gdoila. And then somebody else gave her kedushin. How could Shmuel say, my time of the Shmuel, how could Shmuel say that marriage is recognized as a marriage? The second marriage was after she's a full-fledged Eishas Ish. And we know that an Eishas Ish is not a candidate to receive Kedushin from anyone else. Answers the Gemara, Kol HaBoyel, Kesover Shmuel holds, Kol HaBoyel Das Rishon Hu Boyel. The Kedushin, you have here a man and a woman. The girl was a ketana when she got married to this man. So it's not that every time they have relations after she's a gdoila, that they reflect, the Shmuel say they reflect back to the original marriage. There's no reason to reflect back. So the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, the way we understand the Gemara now, is reduced to one issue. Everybody agrees you have to have bia after she becomes a gdoila. Just Rav is going to hold that everybody who married a ketana is aware of that halacha. And therefore, as soon as she becomes a gdoila, the first bia that they'll have after she becomes a gdoila, it will be done with the intention to affect a kedusha d'oraisa. Shmuel, on the other hand, holds that nobody has that in mind. This is my wife. And therefore, he doesn't have in mind after she becomes a gdoila to have a bia l'shem kedushin. So we only have the original bia, which is a bia of a kedusha de rabbanon, and that's why now, when someone else comes to her and gives her the kedushin will be effective, because that's a kedusha de raisa, which will be effective over a woman who only has kedusha de rabbanon. There's an interesting machlokes rishonim. Will the fact that the girl does or doesn't consent to taking this kedushin have relevance in halacha? No, it's the fact that the girl knew that the second man is giving her kedushin and she agreed to take that kedushin, does that prove that her first kedushin isn't a kedusha deraisa, or does it make no difference? It's just we have to look at the facts. Machlokes rishonim. Actually, the Sforim, I saw the Paiskim, use this concept of kol HaBoyel Adas Rishonim Hu Boyel for a number of areas in halacha. Sometimes we do a mitzvah, and when you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to have in mind certain mitzvahs, even midaraisim. The best example is yeshiva sukkah. Most rishonim hold the midaraisa, even if we don't hold mitzvah tzrichas kavana, that you don't have to have kavana when you do a mitzvah. Mitzvah sukkah, you have to have kavana. So let's say somebody's about to sit down the first night of Sukkot. He's going to Baruch Hashem. It's going to be nice weather, we hope. And he's going to sit down to a long meal. And it's hard to have in mind the entire time that he's doing a mitzvah. So what the Paiskim say is that if at the beginning of the meal he has the proper kavanah, so then we apply the same concept as Shmuel applies in our Gemara, call out boil, that's what Shainu boil. If you started the meal with the kavanah, I'm now going to sit down and eat a meal and have kavanah to be Mekai Mitzvah Sukkah, even if not every moment that you're eating or you're talking or you're thinking, are you thinking about that mitzvah, you're still Mekai the mitzvah. In fact, those of the Chassidish Sfarim say that this is the whole basis of why in the Chassidish circles they say L'Shem Yichud. In the L'Shem Yichud, before you put on tefillin in the morning, for example, people who say L'Shem Yichud before they put on tefillin, they express and they articulate what is the purpose of their putting on the tefillin. So even though we're not always as good as we should be, and when we're wearing the tefillin throughout Shacharis, we don't necessarily always have a mind. We should have a mind. We're not supposed to be Mesiach Das, but we're all only human. But that L'Shem Yichud that we expressed at the beginning of the Hanukkah tefillin, that we're going to have a mind, that this is the Mekayim Mitzvah, can work for the entire duration of our doing the Mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, this Machloikus of Rav and Shmuel is a Machloikus that we already encountered. But Pligah B'Chad Zimah, Ditmah Kitcha tonight. Somebody made a kedushin on the Tanai, the kintzo stam, and then afterwards he took her in and didn't articulate the Tanai again. Rava mitzrichig menuget. Even though when he made a Tanai, the example that's given him sechtik subis is he made a Tanai with her that you don't have any blemishes, and then you don't have any nedarim, and then it turns out that after they got married, she did have the kedushin and not void. Shmuel ama ain't mitzrichig menuget. The kedushin is void. The condition wasn't fulfilled, the kedushin is void. And the Gemara explains, Rava Matzrich Meneget, Kima the Nazba, the act of marriage is a chule achlul tanai. Means he was aware of the tanai, and he decided to forgive it, because he's anxious to marry this woman. Vishmuama enetzrich meneget. Why? Because kol ha-boil adas kedushin u-boil. He doesn't have to articulate the tanai every moment. He said it at the moment of kedushin, and it's going to last for the duration. So ask the Gemara, why do we have to have the same chloikus of Rav and Shmuel twice? Answers the Gemara, tzricha. And actually, the girsa of our Gemara is the girsa with which Tosfos learns the Gemara. Rashi has an opposite girsa, because that's actually, Rashi wants that the girsa in our Gemara should be consistent with the girsa of Masechta Ksuvos. Ditmai he, if we only had the case of the Tanai, Behu kamarav, Meshum de ikatanor. If somebody makes a condition, a stipulation, he's well aware of the stipulation he made. The kiv in the ball, and then he went and did bia anyway. What is he saying in that act of bia? Achle l'tanai. He's saying, I'm not concerned with that stipulation. Abaha, emimoyde l'lishmul. There is no act that he did to indicate that he doesn't care. There's an act. There was a stipulation, and the act of bia contradicts the stipulation. Here there is no act which contradicts what happened previously, and perhaps he agrees to Shmuel, the call of boil, adas rishona who boil. Vitma baha, if we only had our Gemara, I would say b'hach kama Shmuel, and our Gemara does Shmuel say, call a boil, adas rishona who boil. Ah, b'hach, in the Gemara of the condition, where he went and did bia after he made stipulations, isn't that a clear indication that he doesn't care about the stipulations? That's why it's tzricha. As I said, Tosfos quotes Rashi learns just the opposite, and the Gemara Masechta Ksuvos explains it this way. The Gemara is saying like this: over here, where there's a concept of kola, that ein adam oisa bilosa bilaznus, where a person doesn't want that he live with his wife all these years, and it should have been for naught. So therefore, certainly he had a mind to be mekadeshar. Over there where he made a condition, he wants his condition fulfilled. So maybe over here Shmuel will agree with Rav, and over there Rav will agree with Shmuel. Just opposite girsa, and that's why the Gemara had to have the machloikis mentioned twice, that they both stick to their positions. Ask the Gemara, Umi Rama Rav, Kibal in, Loibalau, does Rav really hold that if there was no Bila, then if somebody married a Katana, and she never had beer with him after she became a gdoila. She's not considered his full-fledged Doraisa wife. There was a story, there was an episode that happened in Narish. There was a girl that a man did Kedusha Ketana, Kedusha Drabona, the Godla. And then she became a Gdoila. They used to have, like we have by our weddings, the Kala has a fancy chair that she sat on. And now another man came and grabbed away from that took her for a wife. These Talmidim were there. And they didn't even require get from the second husband. They said that since she was a Gedoila, her Kedusha were ready, Kedusha Daraisa. But the way the Gemara seems to be learning, there was no Bia yet. So she wasn't the first man's full-fledged wife. Because we're learning now that according to Rav, she only becomes the first husband's full-fledged wife with Bia. So why are we completely discounting the second's Kedushin? His Kedushin is a Kedushin Daraisa. The Kedushin of the first husband is at this point, prior to the Bia, only Kedushin Darabonin. Omer Rapapa, Benarish, Mintzer Nesivi Vahadim Maisa Bukrasaya. What they used to do was, first they used to have Bia, and then they put the Kala on the fancy chair. So Mela, there was Bia here already. So she was his full-fledged wife, and that's why we could completely ignore what this second man did. Rav Ashi Amar, who also shloike feigen? This second man, what a terrible story. Somebody sitting, a chassan and kala, are sitting by a wedding. The kala is sitting with the intent that this man is going to be her chassan, and another person comes and grabs away. Lefikach, also by shloike feigen. That's why they treated this second man in this manner. Vefkinu, Rabbanan l'kedushim v'nayim. Rabbanan annulled the marriage. And Tosfos makes a very interesting observation. Normally, when we have such a situation, in the Gemara, the Gemara always adds one line, which is glaringly missing from our Gemara. Usually the Gemara says, that person, we all know, when he stands on the chuppah, he says, Arayim kedash asli, kedas Moshe Yisrael. So when the person did the Kedushin, he clearly indicated that he's doing it with the stipulations, with the rules that Chazal set forth. This second man, the Gemara doesn't indicate anywhere that he made the Kedushin Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. So Rashi seems to learn that that was what he said also. As bad as he was, he did the wedding right. And since he said Kedash Moshe of Yisrael, Chazal don't want this marriage to happen. Tosfos says a very big chiddush. He says, let's say we'll have a person that's so smart. He'll take a wife and he'll say Kedushin and he won't say Kedas Moshe Yisrael. So do the Rabbanan still have a right to annul that marriage? Perhaps one could argue that the Rabbanan can only annul a marriage when the person said Kedas Moshe Yisrael, because he completely tied his marriage to the Rabbanan. Here, this person didn't tie his marriage to the Rabbanan. Tosfos says, a chiddush, that the Rabbanan have such power to annul a marriage that even if one did not say Kedas Moshe Yisrael, it doesn't make a difference. That's the power of the Rabbanan to annul a marriage. But now the question comes up, which the Rashba already discusses in the Tshuvas. If Rabbanan, especially after the Tosfos we just quoted, have such power to annul a marriage, so when we learned earlier in the Masechta, if we'll recall, we had all those episodes of women whose husband disappeared and there were no Eidim, or maybe there was only one Eid, and this woman is an Aguna. So why don't we say, Efkin Rabbanan L'Kedushim V'nayim, we could annul the marriage and we won't have any issue. So the Rashba says clearly that this power that Chazal have to annul a marriage is not a power that can be used indiscriminately. It's a power that has to be used only with Chazal allowed to be used. For example, he says, in our Gemara, this woman already had a Kedusha Derabanan with the first man. So now the second man comes and tries to usurp that. So that's where Chazal say, we're not going to allow that second marriage to be effective. But where we have a couple who are perfectly fine married, and nobody did anything wrong, besides that Nebuch, that the man disappeared, it's a terrible tragedy, just to go and employ this concept of Kinner Rabbanu L'Kedusha Minei, we may not. As the Gemara, so the Gemara discusses this concept of Kinner Rabbanu L'Kedusha Minei. Amrei Ravina L'Ravashi, Tanach, Tainach, the Kodesh B'Kaspa. If Kedusha was affected with Kesef, we could understand how Kinner Rabbanu L'Kedusha Minei. So most Rishonim explain it this way. They explain that we know something, another concept that we've discussed in our Masechta, Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Bezdin have a power to do whatever they want with Jewish money. So even though a man gave a woman money, gave her a ring, with the intent to be Mekadosh her, Chazal, there's another way the Rishonim could say. They could say, we're turning that money into a gift. We're turning the ring not into a vehicle, how she's mekudeshes to you, we're saying that you gave this girl a gift, a ring. Or we could say that Hefker, the money was never his. And to do Kedushin, the first law of Kedushin, the Rav always asks the Chassan, does this ring belong to you? So if Kinner Rabbanan, Hefker Bezna Hefker, what Rabbanan say is that that ring is not his. If the ring is not his, he can't do Kedushin with it. There is a pshat that Rashi quotes me Raboisov, which Rashi himself disagrees. He says, Kodesh Bekaspa is a Kedushi de Rabbonon. So Kedushi de Rabbonon, Chazal could say, we want it to be effective in certain circumstances, we don't want it to be effective in other circumstances. Again, Rashi and most Rishonim vehemently don't agree with that pshat, because the Gemara Masechta Kedushin teaches us the Kedushi Kesef affect the Kedushi de Raisa. So Kodesh Bekaspa, we could understand what the mechanics of how Rabbanan could annul the marriage. However, ask the Gemara, Kodesh Bebiya, what could the Rabbanan do with that Biya? There's a fact that there was a Biya here. And as the Rishonim add, especially since we learned, Ein Adam Oysa Bilos Bilaznus, people don't want that the Biya should be just a Bilaznus. So that Biya that the husband, that the Chosim made with the intent that she should become his wife, what happens to that Biya? Explains the Gemara, Shavu Rabbanan Lebilos Bilaznus. Chazal have the power that even when there's a Biya, and even though we're learning that a person doesn't want his biya to be a biyaznus, Chazal can label it a biyaznus. Says the Gemara, going back to the Mishnah, Amri Yudu Mishmul, Halach Krab Elazar. Right? Ken Amri Halach Krab Elazar, that we teach the girl to be a man. And we'll discuss this more in Daf Kofir Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Misha Yinosi L'shtei Yisoymus. If a man was married to two Yisoymus, Ketanos. So in other words, he had two Kedushi Drabonim, Umeis. And then he passes away without children. Says the Mishnah Aloch is, Bi osoy or chalitzosoy shal achs mehen peteres tzorosoy. The yibam or the chalitza of one of these women will exempt the other women. Because although both only have Kedushi Derabbanan, they're both equal. They both only have Kedushi Derabbanan. So the yibam with either of them will exempt the other one, no different than whenever a man, as we've been learning, has two wives, that if Bi'o chalitza is performed on one of the wives, the other wife is exempt. Rashi and Tosfos discuss, how could the Mishnah say that the chalitza of one of these girls will exempt the other girl? We learned that chalitza isn't effective on a girl who's a ketana. So Rashi explains that when the Mishnah says that the chalitza is done on the one girl, it helps the other girl, exempts the other girl, doesn't mean that the chalitza is done while she's a ketana. Chalitza is not acceptable while she's a ketana. It means that chalitza, when she becomes a gedayla, the chalitza of one will exempt the other. That's one pshat. Other pshat is that we learned that it's actually a machloikis of a ketana could do chalitza or not, and our Mishnah may be following the opinion that chalitza could be done with a ketana. A third opinion is that even the man, the omen that holds that chalitza should only be done with a gedoyla, will agree that b'di'evit of a ketana did chalitza, it's acceptable, and that's the case that the Mishnah is referring to. Similarly, v'kein shtei charoshes, if we have two women who are deaf-mutes, a man was married to two women who are deaf-mute, so since he was married to two women who are deaf-mute, the kedushin are not a kedusha deraisa, so the same halacha applies. Continues the Mishnah. What if ketana v'chareshes? Man was married to two women. One was a ketana and one was a chareshes. So neither is a Kedusha Daraisa. But each one has his own set of problems. One is a Ketana, and one is a Chareshes. Here, says the Mishnah, and the Gemara will explain it, Ein Bias Ach Mem Peteres Tzareses. Then we have another situation. We have a situation of Pikachas V'Chareshes. A man is married to a completely intelligent woman, so we have a Kedusha Daraisa, or and to a Chareshes, which is a Kedusha Darabon. Says the Mishnah, Bias HaPikachas, which is the Yibum, and somebody with a Zika Daraisa, Peteres HaChareshes, could exempt a woman who has a weak Zika, because she's only a Chareshes. So maybe no Zika, or a weak Zika, Zika Drabonim. However, vice versa, Ein Bia Sachareshes, Peteres HaPikachas, somebody who has only a Zika Drabonim, cannot exempt somebody who has a Zika Daraisa. Similarly, if a man was married to a Gedoilu Ketana, says the Mishnah, Bias HaGedoilu Peteres HaKetana, Ein Bias HaKetana, Peteres HaGedoilu, again, because the Gedoilu has a Kedusha Daraisa, the Ketana is only Kedusha Drabonim. So the Mishnah says, the second case of the Mishnah was that if a man was married to two women who are deaf-mute, the chbi or the chalitz of one exempts the other. And then so on further. Ask the Gemara, v'chareshes bes chalitzahi, is there an option to do chalitza on a chareshes? But tanan, we learned the Mishnah on daf kuf dalid, cheresh shenechlatz, if the husband is a cheresh, or v'chareshes shechotza, in all these cases, there's no chalitza. So what is the Mishnah saying? That if chalitza is done on one chareshes, it will exempt the other one. She's not a candidate for chalitza, because she's a chareshes. Amarav, Gidl Amarav, Abia. Correct. It's not referring to chalitza. Chalitza is not an option for chareshes. When the Mishnah says that if something is done with one chareshes, it will exempt the other chareshes, it's referring to the Biyah. The Biyah of one Chareshes exempts the other Chareshes. That's Rav Gidl's teretz. Rav Amma, Afil Tema Chalitza. There is a situation where Chalitza is affected by Chareshes. Kan b'Chareshes mikara, kan b'Pikachas v'achan skarsha. A woman who was a Pikachas, Baruch Hashem, a completely normal woman. So she had a Kedusha Daraisa. Now she became a Chareshes, she can't speak. So she's not a candidate for chalitza. So therefore, the only option, if she becomes a yevama, to do with her is bia. However, a woman who was a chareshes, so when she got married, she couldn't speak. So as the Gemara will explain, chareshes miyikara, kehechad ol, just like she got married with whatever mode of communication the communicator with her, she wasn't able to speak because she's a chareshes, hochinam, Hochi Nofak. That's how they'll get separated. And therefore, Rav is teaching us a very big chiddush, that even though we learned that a woman who's a chareshes is unable to do chalitza, that's only a woman who got married as pikachas v'akach nescharsha. However, a woman who got married, and when she got married she was a chareshes, she will be able to do chalitza. Pikachas v'akach nescharsha, loy. She can't do chalitza, the makva bakriya, because she can't articulate the words. And since she got married when she can't speak, a chalitza that's going to be a chalitza without words is unacceptable. Again, to review the Gemara we learned in the Afkuf Talad, even though the Gemara taught us there that the kriya loy makva, speaking is not necessary, the Gemara still is teaching us, the Gemara taught us there, kol haroy labia bila, ain bila makevespa, because she ain roy labila, even though you don't have to be say the words, you have to be able to say the words. Since this girl is unable to say the words, and when she got married, she was able, her chalitza is going to be ineffective. The Ritva points out, why does the Gemara have to say that the concern of a woman, of a bikachas v'achkach nescharsha, was that when she got married, she was able to speak, and now by the yibum, by the chalitza, she's not able to speak. Why does the Gemara say something simpler? That with the bikachas is considered a bardas, and a chareshes, someone who deaf-mute, as we've said many times, the halacha doesn't consider a bardas. Why does the Gemara focus on the ability to speak versus on the das? Says the Ritva, the Gemara wanted to add this case, because there's another case that we'll learn. What's going to be the halacha if a woman was a bikachas by the chasana, v'akach nasa ilmus, and then she became a person that can't speak? She could hear. or vice versa. She could hear and not speak. Halachically, that woman is a bardas, because only a deaf mute is not a bardas. But she still can't do chalitza, because to do chalitza, you have to be able to communicate. So that's why the Gemara focused on the kriya to add those two cases. So Rava just taught us that the only time we say that a chareshes is not a candidate for chalitza is a chareshes that was bikachas v'akach nischarsha. Esvei Abaya. Ask the Bayan Rava. The chareshes mikara bas chalitza hi. If a woman was a chareshes at the time of marriage, she is a candidate for chalitza. But tonight we learned in the Mishnah, Shnei Achim, if they're two brothers, Echad Bikeach v'Echad Cheresh. One is a Bikeach and one is a Cheresh. Nesu'in l'shtei nochrius. And they're married to two women who are not related. Again, Ach Bikachas, the man who's Bikeach, married Bikachas, v'Echad Chereshes, and one is a Chereshes. Meis Cheresh b'al Chereshes, so if the Cheresh who was married to the Chereshes died without children, Mayas Bikeach b'al Bikachas, what options does he have to do with this cheresh, chereshes wife? Kindness, he can't do chalitza, because she's a chereshes. Kindness, so he should marry her. For Yibam, she is a candidate. From Reitzi, Leitzi, Yaitzi. And then he could divorce her. Meis pikeach baal pikachas, if the husband who's a pikeach died, mayas a cheresh baal chereshes. What does the cheresh baal chereshes do? Kindness, he marries this woman, because he could do bia. However, he can never divorce her. Why can he never divorce her? Because he's a cheresh, and a cheresh is not a bar das, and therefore he can't give a get. Ask the Gemara, my love, isn't the case that we're talking about in this Mishnah about a chereshes miyikara, a woman who was always a chereshes? According to Rava, a woman who was a chereshes at the moment of marriage is a candidate for chalitza. So ask the Gemara, V'ktani, why does the Braisa say, kindness in, chalitz loy, that only Yibum is an option, not chalitza? If she was a charesh b'shas the marriage, even chalitza is an option. Says the Gemara, loy. The case over here is referring to a case of bikachas v'akach nischarsha, that she was bikachas b'shas the marriage, and she only became a scharsha later. There even Rava agrees she's only a candidate for Yibum, not for Chalitza. Toshma, continues the Gemara, Shnei Achim Pichim, Nesun Shtei Nochriyos, if two brothers who are Pichim marry two women. Achas Bikachas v'Achas Chareshes. These two women are not related. One is a Bikachas, one is a Chareshes. Meis Bikeach Bal Chareshes. So the Bikeach, who's married to this Chareshes, dies without children, what should the other brother do? Kindness, he can marry her. And then he could divorce her. If the Bikeach Baal Pikachas died, he could do either Chalitza or Yibam, because he's a Bikeach. And she's a Pikachas. My love, so this is the way Tosfos explains the Gemara. My la mehud bikeach mikara. If we're referring to a person who's a bikeach, he was always a bikeach. And Rishonim explain why. Because it's very unlikely in the times of Chazal to have somebody who was a cheresh, who was a deaf mute, and then became bikeach. So it must be that he was always a bikeach. He nami chereshes mikara. She's also chereshes from the outset. And yet it says, kindness in chayelet sloy. So we see that even a woman who is chareshes mi'ikara is only a candidate for yibum, not chalitza. Says the Gemara, midi iria, hakadisa v'hakadisa. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. He is a bikeach mi'ikara. She is not necessarily the same. She was a bikachas v'achach nescharsha, and that's why she's not a candidate for yibum. She's only a candidate for chalitza. Says the Gemara, esvei, Shnei Achim, you have two brothers. Ech Bikeach v'Echad Cheresh. One brother is a Bikeach and one brother is a Cheresh. Nesun Shtei Achoyos, who are married to two sisters. And these two sisters, Achas Bikachas v'Achas Chereshes. One is a Bikachas and one is a Chereshes. So, analyzes the Braisa. Meis Cheresh b'al Chereshes. If the Cheresh who was married to the Chereshes died, Ma Yasa, Bikeach b'al Bikachas. What should the Bikeach b'al Bikachas do? Teitze Mishum Achoyos Isha. His wife, who's her sister, is completely his wife. He's a Bikeach, she's a Bikachas. Sort of completely married, a full-fledged marriage. So the Chareshes, who's his wife's sister, is a chais ishtoi. We go back to the beginning of Masechta, and a chais ishtoi is an erva who's exempt from Yibum Chalitza. But what about the other way around? Meis pikeich ba'al pikachas. The pikeich ba'al pikachas passes away. Mayas a cherish ba'al chereshes. What should the cherish, the ba'al chereshes, do? He can't remain with his wife. Let's understand why. His marriage to his wife is a kedusha de rabbanim, because he's a cheresh and she's a chereshes. His zika to his wife's sister is a deraisa, because his brother was fully married to his wife's sister. So that prevents him from continuing to live with his wife. Meitzis ishto beget, so he has to divorce his wife. Veishes ochiv asur l'olam, and he can't take his sister-in-law. Why? Because he's a cheresh, and his sister-in-law is bikachas. V'chi tema. If you'll argue, hochinami v'bikeach v'achak nischarish, that the case here was that he was bikeach v'achak nischarish, asked the Gemara, mimotzi mapik, would he be able to divorce his wife under such circumstances? V'tanan, nischarisho, if a wife becomes nebuch a deaf mute, yoitzi, because we don't need a wife's consent to a divorce. Nishtatis, if a wife nebuch becomes a shaita, lo yoitzi, you can never divorce her. Why the Chazal, even though we don't need the wife's consent to the divorce, Chazal did not allow a divorce to take place, because Chazal were concerned that this woman, who's nebuch a shaita, will be treated improperly, so he can't divorce her. Nischarish shu nishtata, if the man becomes a cherish, or the man becomes a shaita, lo yotze olamis. So if the Bryce is telling us that he could give a get, it can't be referring to a case that he was a bikeach v'achach nischarish. El alav, the cherish miyukara. We're referring to a situation that he was always a cherish. Says the Gemara, umuhu cherish miyukara, hinami cherish miyukara. If he's a cherish, always, she always must have been a cherish. And like Tosfos explains, Tosfos gives us a rule. Tosfos says, when does the Gemara use the concept of Haka de'isa v'haka de'isa? The man and the woman, the two people we're talking about, aren't necessarily the same. Says Tosfos, that's when they're not marrying each other. So we have a bikeach and we have a cherish. We don't have to say that just because the bikeach was always a bikeach, the cherish was always a cherish. The bikeach could have always been a bikeach, and the cherish could become a cherish later. But here we're talking about a cherish marrying a chereshes. To say that the cherish wasn't a gentleman who was always a cherish, and to say that chereshes was somebody who was bikachas v'achkachs and scharsha, that is unacceptable. So if so, that we're proving now that in this last case, the cherish is a cherish mi'kara, umidahu cherish mi'kara, hina cheresh mi'kara, umidachoyes cheresh mi'kara. So we're explaining in this last case, where the two men, brothers, were married to two sisters, and we're explaining that the woman is a cheresh mikara, then the earlier cases that we refer to are also nachrius nami, are referring to situation of cheresh mikara, that they were cheresh from the beginning. And yet, the Mishnah teaches us, v'tanan, gabri nachrius, kainus in, chaylet sloi, that only yibam is an option, not chalitza. According to Rava, if the woman when she got married was a cherish, Yibam is an option, ishtik. He remained silent, he didn't have a question. Tosfos says another proof that it has to be referring to a situation of cherish mikara. Because if it would be referring to a situation of bikeach v'achkach nischarish, that a man was married to this woman, who he's a bikeach v'achkach nischarish, and his wife was a bikeach v'achkach nischarish, so they had a kedusha deraisa, because when they got married, they were both pikchim. If so, afterwards, when his brother, who's a bikeach, who's married to bikachas, dies, what do we have to worry about yibum with her? She's a chos ishtoi. So that could have been another proof, says Tosfos, that our brayse is not talking about a bikeach v'achkach nischarish, it's referring to our mishnah is not talking about bikeach v'achkach nischarish, it's talking about a cherish from the Mikara. Kiyasa Lekamei de Rabbi Yosef, when this question was brought to Rabbi Yosef, this proof to disprove Rava's point was brought to Rabbi Yosef. Amma Mai Taisa time of Tais Maha. Why did you ask from this question? Do you chalish nilach? Achayis charashis mikara. Why? You know, Rabbi Yosef is saying, although it's forced, the Gemara could have given an answer. What was the Gemara's point? The Gemara's point was that if in the last case of the Mishnah we're referring to charashis mikara, it must be that in the earlier cases of the Mishnah we're also referring to situations that are charashis mikara. He says, what makes you say that? He could have said that although the Yachl Shnilach, although this last case of the Mishnah is referring to situation of Achayis who are Charash Mikara, Nachrius, the earlier cases where the two women married to the two brothers were not related to each other, will be cases of Pichayis V'Akach Nischasha, and that's why Yibam is the only option, no Chalitza, because Rava agrees that V'Kech V'Akach Nischasha, you can't do Chalitza. Says Rabbi Yosef, if you want to completely disprove Rava's point that he differentiates between Cheresh Mikara, where there he says Chalitza is an option, versus Pikeach V'Akach Nischasha, where he says there Chalitza is not an option, I'll prove it to you from here. That he's wrong, I'll prove from here. El Abay Lach L'Arsim Maha. Shnei Achim Charoshim. You have two brothers who are Charoshim. Nisun Shtei Achis Pichais. Married to two women who are Pichais. Or Shtei Achis Charoshis. Or the two sisters are Charoshis. Or Shtei Achis. Or the married to two sisters. Achis Pikachis V'Achis Charoshis. One is the Pikeach and one is Charoshis. The Cain continues the Mishnah. Shtei Achis Charoshis. You have two sisters who are both Charoshis. Nisun Shnei Achim. They're both married to two brothers. Achat Pikeach V'Achat Cheresh. One is Pikeach and one is Cheresh. The Aloch is, Hara'el Pturus Ben Chalitza Ben Yibam. In all these cases, there's no Chiyiv, not Chalitza or not Yibam, because the marriage is not, because the marriages are equal. So if there's a Kedusha Daraisa, so the other one is a Chay Sishtai. If it's a Kedusha Darabonon, it's again a Chay Sishtai Midrabonon. However, continues V'mayu Nachriyos Yichnasu, if these women are not related, so then, and one of them dies, so the halach is yichnasu, he could do yibum, from ratzel ha'itzi, and then after he does yibum in the chareshes, yitziu, he divorces her. Now explains the mar. Hechidami, again, ask the mar, exactly what is their status? Ilema, b'pichim, l'b'soif n'scharshu, that they were first pichim, then n'scharshu, the question is, mi matzi mapki, could such a person give a get? V'tanan, as we learned earlier, nishtatis layotzi. If the woman becomes a shaita, she can't receive a get. Nischarishu or nishtata. If he becomes a cherish or a shaita, he can't give a get. Layotzi lamas. Elaf. What is the case? A charash mikara. And that's why he can give a get. Umidahein charash mikara. Inunami charashis mikara. So must be referring in all these cases to people who are charash mikara. V'ktani, what does it say here? That the only option is yibum. Yichnasu in, only yibum, yichal tzulai, not chalitza. But according to Rava, charash mikara are even candidates for chalitza. Tiyufta de Rava, tiyufta de Rava, tiyufta. We learned in the Mishnah, ketanav chareshes. The Mishnah discussed, first a man was married to two ketanis, then the Mishnah discussed a man who was married to two charashim, and then, in both of those cases, the Mishnah said the bi'ur or the chalitza of one exempts the other. We're not sure if chareshes there is ever chalitza based on the Gemara we just learned. And then the Mishnah said a man was married to a ketana and a chareshes. So there's a flaw in both of those marriages, right? The ketana is a ketana, and the chareshes is a chareshes. But there the Mishnah says, so if a man was married to two such women and he passes away, there the Mishnah says the bia or the chalitza of one doesn't exempt the other. Why? Omer Rav Nachman Ashkachte Rav Adar Bar Hava or Rav Chana Chasne Diyasvi V'Komakvi Akvasa B'Shukud B'Medisa. There's two pshatim in Komakvi Akvasa. One pshatim Akvasa was they were gathering together Talmidim. They were gathering Talmidim to learn a shir. Another pshat of Komakvi Akvasa was they were asking kashas. One was asking each other different questions on subjects they had learned. Vamri. And they asked, Hadatnan, the Mishnah that we just quoted, that says, Ketana v'chareshes, ein bias achsmen, petaras sarasa, hani mili, the naflim yachiv, b'keach. The husband was b'keach. He had two wives. One was a cheresh, one was a ketana. Each one of these wives that we'll see comes with a, like everybody in life, comes with milus, with its positive attributes and with its negative attributes. Is ketana nichalei? Which is the wife that he really considers his primary wife? Does he prefer the ketana? Because this girl will eventually grow up and be a fully mature woman. But on the other hand, maybe he prefers the chareshes, the gdoilihi, or baspeihi. She's a mature woman. She may have this flaw that she's a deaf mute, but she's a completely mature woman. That's in the case, says the Gemara, where the husband was bikeach. So there's reason that he prefers the ktana, that she'll mature and be a woman that he could communicate with, because he's a bikeach, or he maybe prefers the chareshes, because she's a mature woman already. Avil, nafl mach of cheresh. Let's say it was a brother, who was a cheresh. And this brother was a cheresh, had two wives. One is a ktana, and one is a cheresh. And we're trying to decide, he died now, and we're trying to decide who was his primary wife. Vadei, there we could certainly assume, says the Gemara, b'chareshes nichalei, the bas b'yehi, she's mature, physically mature, and bas minahi, they can relate to each other because they're both chareshim. V'min alo ano, and I said, don't be so quick to choose. Don't be so quick to assume that just because he's a cheresh, he certainly prefers the wife that's a chareshes. I feel enough like mi'achav cheresh, even if the brother was a cheresh, he might have preferred the wife who's a ketana, because mesapklei, we might have preferred that wife, because even though she's a ketana, and she's not his min, he might have preferred the fact that he will have a wife that one day is a completely fine, healthy woman, versus the chareshes, who may be similar to him, but will always, unfortunately, remain with this defect.
Why does preference affer which one be one doesn't affect the other?
This Shana the Gemara says that we have to decide which is the preferable wife,